Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be back with you guys again. I love watching your videos. They come into my feed every time you publish. Really enjoy that.
We've got kind of a rare cachet here. Three Lyme survivors on the same on the same panel here.
Yeah.
One of the things that is so distressing for a lot of people whose lives have been impacted by Lyme disease, as ours have, I would say that for both of us, for Melody and myself, the origin of our Lyme is controversial. First of all, she caught it from me. Lyme is a spirochete like syphilis, and they don't tell you generally that you can catch it from your spouse.
I don't think the CDC recognizes
that. They don't
that
officially recognize that. So that's one thing. But my catching of Lyme is, again, we hear various stories. Some people say that Lyme has always been with the human race, at least for tens of thousands of years. They say that they found some Paleolithic man and frozen in the ice, and he had evidence of Lyme disease and inflammation in his joint, that sort of thing. But sure. Over the past couple of decades, we've been hearing about just a huge hockey stick of increase, not only of the spread of Lyme. Mm-hmm. Dr. Ernie Murakami from British Columbia talks about it as a new epidemic, but yes, also the virulence and the seriousness and how it mimics many other chronic diseases like MS and so on. Mm-hmm. So there are some pretty serious concerns about where modern Lyme, and as they say, it's not your grandfather's Lyme disease. So
right.
Could you talk to us about what controversy is swirling around the origins of modern Lyme disease and why that's important?
Well, U.S. government is not just the U.S. government, the German government, Soviet government. There's so many declassified projects that they've been exposed at being involved in, and this is just one of those areas that I think has where there's some smoke, there's some fire. I grew up in New Jersey, traveling back and forth between New Jersey and Vermont when I was a child, and Connecticut was, you know, not far. We're right in that area. So I remember getting the bullseye. I remember getting the bullseye rash, and I remember my grandmother putting some old Sicilian black salve on it, or some kind of, you know, but we didn't know what it was. I was probably 9 or 10 years old, somewhere around there, I think. I can't remember. I was a young boy. By the time I got into high school, my latter years of high school, I was starting to have some problems, pain-wise, cognitive. Now, I come from a family, all of us, every one of us in our family have a pretty high intelligence, and it was very frustrating for me when I started going to college and taking criminal law, that when I started taking exams, I would go blank. Now, if I sat in my professor's office and we had a conversation, he would at the end of the conversation, he's like, "I don't understand why you're having such a problem on the test. Or do you have anxiety?" I was like, "No, I'm not nervous at all. I just, when I sit down at the test, I go blank, and I can't recall. But when I'm in a free flowing conversation, it's a little easier." Now, this is the beginning stages of this, right? So he said, "Well, I can't grade you on a conversation." I said, "Well, you know, the shame of it is that that's part of the problem with our education system. You know, if you know that I know the material, then I mean that should be
demonstrated anyway. Mastery,
right? Exactly.
I could go off on a rabbit hole for the education system, but,
exactly.
Another time,
yeah. But it wasn't working out, so I left college. I went to fire academy and I started taking crash rescue, vehicle extrication, rooftop operations, smoke divers, all that. Right around the time of 9/11, of course. This was going back some time. I really feel old now, but and then I started having problems with pain in the fire department, and the pain just kept steadily getting worse and worse and worse. And I was going to doctors, and you know, there had been a couple things that had happened. I rammed a door in with my shoulder on one of our calls, and I was in an accident. There was a couple, you know, scrapes that I thought maybe this has some, but it was more arthritic. It wasn't just my injury site. It was much more than that. And it was becoming worse and worse. to the point where I was lethargic, couldn't get up out of bed. So my doctor started prescribing me opiate painkillers. And the opiate painkillers, it worked for a little while, you know. When we started talking about what the real problem was, I think he suspected that there was something going on. But I remember one of the doctors I went to also saying, I can't treat you for this. You have fibromyalgia. That's what you have. So they went the fibromyalgia route, which is a made-up concoction of a term that covers so many symptoms, which is really convenient when they're trying to suppress information. Now, the reason that I think that this is a government thing, and I'm not so conspiratorial to say that the government infected the people intentionally and they're hiding it. It's not what I'm really. I don't know. I don't like saying things I can't prove. What I can prove is that Plum Island facility, they were doing some really crazy stuff there. And if you look, just research the open source history of who was involved with that, and you look at what Ernest Traub was involved with, biological tick-borne, stuff. So it's not a real big leap after talking with a few people that used to work on the island that said that they're what they were doing with their animals, they weren't keeping their animals properly. And they had animals that they were testing different things on that were in the open on the island. Well, deer can swim. This is a lot of people don't realize this. Deer can swim from the island to the shore. I mean, it's not something that you see every day, but it can happen. Then you have the birds. And so this is a real problem. You're not talking about animals in a facility with the roof that's hermetically sealed or anything like that. You're talking about something that's not, they're not being careful enough with. And I think, I don't know whether it was a lack of foresight. I don't automatically go to the government did it intentionally. That may be though. Mm-hmm. I mean, we did just kick the crap out of the Germans, and we had a German that was kind of heading up the program. He might have felt some kind of way about that. I don't know. But sticking with what we know, the outbreak broke out in that little tiny area in Lyme, Connecticut, right. And it exploded slowly. Like if you look at the map of the reported cases and you do that with a red circle and you do it over the course of time, it was like a slow and silent bomb that dropped on the Northeast, and now it's everywhere. So, mm-hmm. Okay. So a lot of people say there's evidence of this being, you know, existing. Well, of course there's evidence of it existing. They take these things and they weaponize them. Mm, they right. take them. Where do they get them from? They get them from nature. And this is, I mean, so no, we didn't just, the humans didn't just concoct viruses one day. They've always existed. It's what we do with them and what we allow governments, more importantly, what we're trusting in governments. How many times can you recall in your lifetime that the government's lied to you? and we trust these, I'm trying to put it nice without, you know, cussing them, but, you know, it's like,
And it's always 20 years later that it comes out that they covered up this, so they did that. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's exactly right. And what we're finding out now, I just did a report on President Truman. His 2 months ago, President Truman's documents, his CIA daily summary reports were released. And I started tearing through them and I'm like, oh my God, so many of the things that he said were absolute propaganda to the public. He knew he had intelligence about things that he was purporting one thing to the public and clear evidence of other things going on and other agendas going on. So, I mean, this is government, man. This is, you know, I love the founding fathers. I love a lot of the principles that we were founded on. But man, I hate the government. I love my country, but I hate my government. And you know, another part of the problem was that they also, like I said, with the doctors, they didn't want to treat for it because the federal government was actually threatening through the American Medical Association to take doctors' licenses away. Again, I remember attending a hearing. Yeah. I was sitting there. It's like, this guy's only treating people with antibiotics, for Pete's sake. Like, you know, what's the harm or foul? So when the government reacts in a way that suppresses right. doctors from being able to try and treat people.
Right, exactly.
That to me is the smoking gun.
Mm-hmm. I think
Why would you do that?
Dr. Murakami, he lost his license.
Yeah, we have a video called Investigate Lyme and Lose Your License if people want to look that up on healingyourself.life.
Yes.
Yep.
It's just crazy. It's crazy.
It's
not to help people or, you know, there's other people who have suffered with Lyme who will say, you know, they were told they were crazy. It's all in your head. You know, when you can't get out of bed in the morning or you feel so depressed or you don't feel energy. For me, it was severe neck pain that wasn't going away and finally getting the diagnosis. It's terrible how much and how many years people have suffered and doctors aren't helping them. And it's like, wow. And to think, I don't know, I'm not trying to be conspiracy either, but how many doctors might know and aren't treating or, you know, I don't know that. I don't know. But
there's significant pressure on doctors, peer reviews and so on, to suppress even the recognition of what's called chronic Lyme, because the official CDC doctrine says that if it's caught early and you get a 10 to 30 day round of doxycycline or one of those tetracycline type antibiotics, then you're good. You're done. Mm-hmm. And anything after that is you're making it up or you're blaming it. But even the CDC comes out on the side and admits that the actual number of suspected cases is easily 10 times the official number. So last year, the official number was 40,000 new cases. They think it's probably closer to 400,000 new cases. And that's what they are admitting.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the fact that the disease itself now not just being like arthritic swollen joints, like they said, trying to think of his name, a German doctor, I'll think of it in a minute, but he was saying that in the Black Forest region of Germany, that for centuries there's been this people having knobby knees and knobby wrists and that sort of thing, as though it's endemic there. But he said, but this new form, which can masquerade as MS or fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome, he says like whack-a-mole. Every time you think you've treated it, it sprouts up somewhere else and it moves from body part to body part. And when you mentioned getting a slight injury from trauma doing your job as a fire rescue person, how it takes over the immune system and co-ops when there's reconstruction happening, it makes sure that it gets built into the new foundation. So it's in on the ground floor of any healing or inflammation or activity of the immune system in your body. So could you take us further down that path of the slow motion bomb that happened starting from Lyme, Connecticut and spreading? What do we know now that we didn't know then and that's still not being admitted by the authorities?
Well, I've spoken to so many people, good people. One fellow was a park ranger, a couple cops, you know, and it's not just, you know, us normal folk. It's people that work for the government too that are affected by it. So, you know, I think it's gotten to the point now where it's grown so large and so bad that you have now people among their own that are starting to put pressure. I'm expecting this to really come to a head a lot quicker. I think that there's going to be more information coming soon. Now, I've spoken to people that I really can't refer to yet, and I don't like doing that kind of stuff, like baiting you guys. But I've spoken to some people that are pretty high up in the medical establishment, and they know that this is a problem. And they, too, have their suspicions but can't prove exactly. See, that's the problem is culpability here. They have literally kicked this can down the road so far that many of the people that were involved at Plum Island and involved with were in the know are starting now to die off. Mm. Now, I think that as that happens, just like with every other thing in our history, 20, 30 years later, finally we find out. I mean, the CIA was dropping what were they dropping in the subway system with the light bulbs? I mean, the San Francisco got sprayed from. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, so we know about all these things now.
Yes.
Yeah, we know. Yes. And so we find out 30, 40 years later, and then it's a little apology. But, you know, I think that the real point now is that.
Well, they tell you there was no harm done when it was St. Paul, Minneapolis area.
Oh,
I think it was copper or something like they did. You thought it was Agent Orange, but. Whatever it was, like, well, there was no harm done to anybody living there. It's like, well, how do you know that? You know, really, how do you know? How do you know?
And like they would tell you if
right, exactly. So
that's one of the concerns that we have when you talk about this slow rolling denial. if the motivation for the slow rolling denial is lack of accountability, the outcome of it is just crippling wreckage on many tens or hundreds of thousands of people's lives destroyed just because of the denial and the lack of ability for people to treat this effectively.
Mm-hmm. Well, you remember what Bill Gates said about vaccines. If vaccines work really, really good, we can expect to reduce the population by, whoa, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Let's think about that for a moment. Mm-hmm. I thought vaccines were supposed to make you healthy. Being healthy elongates your life. Right. How would that reduce? I mean, these people that are behind this stuff, I don't trust any of them further than I can throw them. And I certainly, you know, I've gotten to the point now where if the government tells me the sky is blue, I'm just going to assume that it's gray. You know, just I don't believe anything they tell me anymore. And it's a shame. It's a real shame because this has caused a big problem just in public confidence. I don't respect anything that they do on the federal level these days. And it's just. Well, you look at this thing with Lyme disease here. I mean, this was literally a biological time bomb that had Nazi fingerprints to it, right? And we have a government that takes an Operation Paperclip, thousands of these scientists, and absorbs them and gives them their own programs. Like, not only are we going to bring you into our country after we kick the crap out of you, let's forget about all the other stuff with the Nazis, the evil and all that. Like, forget all that. We just kicked the crap out of your country and bombed it back into the Stone Age. Come on over and have special weapons programs to, you know, among the American people. What are they, nuts? It frustrates me. It frustrates me. I have a lot of people that I know that I should have gone a lot further. There were years that I descended into, quite honestly, into absolute despair. Addiction. You know, all of the other members of my family who didn't get ill did fine. And I had members of my own family calling me, you know, all kinds of names because there's nothing wrong with you. You look fine. Oh, I love that one.
Yeah,
I
right,
look
exactly.
fine. I really, I wish
you
I
look really
I felt
good. Yeah, yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you just don't want to apply yourself. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It got to the point where I put my feet on the ground and just tears would roll down my face. Mm hmm. And of course, I had anger issues because I was so frustrated. Mm-hmm. And right. I mean, you know, the whole gambit. I mean, how many people have you heard these stories from?
Right.
So, I mean, I wish I had the answer. But when it comes to what the government's done, they're going to keep stonewalling like they did with Tuskegee, like they did with so many other experiments that it took us forever to find out. Mm-hmm. You know, at some point, the American people need to wake up. They need to. I probably can't say it on YouTube and prepare, which is I love the name of your program because people need to prepare because this is not going to get better. I don't think this whole draining the swamp thing is happening.
Mm, yeah.
At least it's not happening fast enough for me.
Right. Right. Yeah. Some things take longer. It's hard to know at this point whether he's going to be successful or kicked out. You know, they'll find a way. They're trying anyway.
Yeah.
And it is very frustrating. You know, I think you had on your channel, Dunnigan, somebody say you're just being lazy.
I
don't think that.
I lost 20% of my muscle mass and 40% of my strength and couldn't even do yard work anymore. And they said, you're not sick, you're lazy. Yeah.
Morons.
Yeah, it's really when you're not. I can understand sometimes when you're not in that situation. And you're right, you don't look ill. You know, somebody who has cancer, sometimes their hair is falling out because they're doing chemo or whatever. I have a friend who didn't go that route, and she's feeling fine, which is probably better than doing the chemo route. But just that people who don't have it sometimes don't have the capacity to understand or be empathetic to what's going on in your life. And I think that's where the Lyme survivors need to get together. We just talked to a woman who was just like, oh my gosh, just started just talking about all the symptoms she's been having, you know, because she says nobody else will listen. Nobody else, you know, understands what I'm going through. And you guys do because you've been through it.
Yeah,
and you don't understand what it does to your marriage and you don't, you know, it's incredible the effects that this has on not only your relationships with children and your emotional health. People don't understand. You might not have the reserves. You might fly off the handle, and you don't mean to, but you just do. And you wonder, where did that come from? You know, so it can be extremely difficult, and it's a long road. You know, people then keep going, well, aren't you better yet? You know, why aren't you just say you're fine? You know, it's like, well, if you're not really better, you're not really better. You know, I mean, I hate to say it, but you're not better. So
I've seen it destroy people's lives that had perfectly good families and mm-hmm. kids and careers. And as they started to get sick, they just lost everything. I am on I'm trying something new, and I want to share this. I'm not selling this. This is something that I will if it works, but I've been hearing about this copper water.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did, well, too.
New type of copper.
Yeah, yeah, somebody just sent me this. Yeah. And I got 6 bottles of it.
Wow.
And David Hinkston is one of our political prisoners that I care for very much. And this was part of his effort to help the public. But it's copper, zinc, and calcium, and HTO concentrate.
Okay.
And basically you take like 1 drop in the morning and 1 drop at night. And it's supposed to help, and I'm not going to make any claims to have the FDA knock on my door, but it's supposed to help, you know, anything from cancer to Lyme to all kinds of parasitic issues. Just mm-hmm. Very similar to how colloidal silver works for certain kinds of infections,
right.
But it won't work for all of them. Well, this is supposed to help with the with Lyme disease too. So that's why they sent it to me.
Okay.
And they're I'm going to try it, and hopefully the next time that I sit down with you guys, I'll be able to give you a report on how that worked, and I'll stay in touch with you.
Yeah, that would
weekly
be great.
And let you know if there's any progress. I'm hoping.
I've
had a lot of things come across.
Yeah,
you know,
of course,
that I've tried.
That's right, we have too, and it's that's the other thing that people don't understand is you sit there because you're desperate. You try all these different things, and it's money out the window sometimes some things are working better than others. We are going to try a peptide therapy that is FDA approved, so we'll tell you how that goes, but we've also heard of copper. The same guy who told us about the peptide is a special form of copper that's supposed to be really good, so we'll see when we get a hold of that.
I wanted to share
I'm excited.
I've been trying to find a comment that was posted by one of our viewers about a week ago. Maria Perez said, I have had Lyme for 11 years. I was only diagnosed 4 years ago after having gotten multiple false negative tests for Lyme. I was diagnosed with everything under the sun until I contacted canlyme.ca, and they told me which test to ask for, and they actually confirmed my Lyme before I ever had any blood work come back positive based on my symptoms. I had started my own business, had a great career, was a competitive synchronized swimmer before Lyme. Almost overnight, I developed kidney stones, pancreatitis, liver problems, autoimmune problems, gluten allergies, fainting spells, night sweats, emotional changes, debilitating fatigue and pain. I went from being unstoppable to crying as I forced myself out of bed and crawled the way to the bathroom to try to get ready for work. I would constantly push my body beyond its limits to the point that I would literally pass out and be hospitalized because I was told that it was in my head and I just wasn't trying hard enough. This went on for years, too tired to keep writing. Such is my life now with Lyme. So this is what these are true
life
stories.
Heartbreaking. It's
really heartbreaking. LymeDisease.org is a grassroots organization that we've joined, and they now have a database of 12,000 people called My Lyme Data, and it's people who keep telling their stories basically in quantitative terms so that they can start to draw some mm-hmm. conclusions, because you can't wait. I mean, Brad Harris from Full Spectrum Survival said the official warning will always come too late.
Yeah.
So this is a grassroots effort to kind of take the data to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, every morning I'm at the CIA reading room, and I check the CIA reading room for recently declassified FOIAs and the FBI vault. But I think that it's time to start mass hitting them with FOIAs on this. I already have a couple drafted that I'm going to be sending off, and anything
is that Freedom of Information Act FOIA?
Yep. Yes. Okay. Yes. And any terminology that you want added to the FOIA, email me over and I'll add it to the FOIA to see if we pop any results. Now, I'm not going to hold my breath because it is the government, and the government's the one that has the information. But I have found some real gems, especially just in the last couple weeks. So it's why I go there every morning and I read at least 400 or 500 pages of something.
just to see if I can extract anything that the public doesn't already know, they're not already talking about. And we found a couple. I was one of the first guys that found the Anthony Weiner, the document on him that said child porn production. That's something that people didn't hear of, the production. It was sexting, right? That's what everybody heard.
Yeah. Yes,
but on the FBI documents, it claims something else. So you can always extract or glean some information from their documents, because every once in a while, you know, it's like hiding skeletons in the closet. You'll open the closet and a bone will come flying out and hit you in the forehead. Well, that's what's like going to those sites helps you do. I don't trust them, but, you know, there's information there to be had if people have at it. And, you know, we're trying to build a team of people that are, we all take, Muckrock is another, you know, spot to go to check out interesting information. They get all kinds of FOIAs and they have teams of people that go through 300 pages themselves, or, you know, and they have just open source, kind of have a community that go through all of these documents, and then you fill out what you find, and then if you find something that jumps out at you, you can upgrade that to a level. Well, we're doing the same kind of thing with a smaller group of people at RTR Truth Media, and wow, just the stuff that we come across, it'll blow your mind. Anyway,
so you're going to the CIA website, declassified document site. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, the CIA reading room.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's, you know, 2 months ago, for instance, from the 1940s, Presidential's Daily Summary Report was published. Excuse me. So to find documents that I found, we just published on rtrtruthmedia.com. It kind of shows that not only were the CIA letting the president know that most of the emigrants going into Israel were from Black Russia seaports, from the Black seaports coming out of Russia, but they were infested with communist subversive agents and paid mercenaries. And this was at a time where, A, leaving the Soviet Union was, you could only do it with state permission, and B, where anti-Semitism was a death penalty offense, so none of these folks were in danger. So why were they mass flooding themselves into Palestine? That's not the need for legitimate, refugee status because you feel as though your life is in danger. It's not, certainly not that. And, you know, right on the president's desk. And this is why, by the way, most of his advisors, they were advising against it. Well, of course, now we hear this canard called anti-Semite. So they were just labeled a bunch of anti-Semites by modern, you know, historians now. No. Now that I have the CIA briefing reports showing who was among these people that were flooding into Israel. Oh, by the way, you heard that the United States turned them away too. Now you know why. It wasn't, had nothing to do with their religion. It had nothing to do with hating any kind of certain kind of people. We were in opposition to an ideology, and that ideology was Bolshevism. We didn't want that here. So I guess the second best bet was to let them go there. But then if you start looking at the money that was flowing in from the banks here in America, making all that happen over there, and you listen to the president's address where he gives this beautiful flowing story of how these two guys kind of talked him into recognizing the state over there, and it mentions nothing about American businesses and universities being in danger, coming under attack. Mentions nothing about the Irgun or the terrorists that
hey, shut your mouth.
And tried putting it on Egyptians. These were terrorists. I don't care what religion the terrorists. I don't care what religion.
So that we have in common.
I don't care if you're Christian, Muslim, Jewish. I don't care. When you resort to killing other people by means of deception to try and pin it on somebody else. I've
how
got
do you
a
get
problem
involved
with
in teaching?
I don't care what religion.
Well, yeah. So
I
contracted it about 8 years ago
so,
in the woods
of
Wisconsin
playing
paintball.
Reports, it also makes me think about, you know, what are we going to find about
Lyme later?
What are we going
to
find about all these other things
intact,
that they've lied to us about?
But I did get the bullseye rash around that.
That's why every morning I'm there reading.
I felt like about a 97-year-old.
It may just be one document. It may be a little trove. I don't know, but I'm going to keep looking and keep requesting and keep sending FOIAs in, and we're going to just keep plugging at it. I have some really good, solid people, good, decent people like Brian Young from High Impact Flicks, Adam Green from No More News, and we're trying to build a network of people who have a love and a compassion for their fellow man and want to do things in whatever capacity that we can contribute to help our fellow man. And that's what we're about doing. And one of the reasons I was so excited when you reached out to me the first time, because you guys, same thing, man. If we all just network and we all come together and we all information share, that's what we're about doing. So I really appreciate you guys and your work, man.
The core of your message here is don't trust government official sources, especially in near real time,
to give you the real truth
about a situation. Any other practical concepts from you for those who suspect they may be Lyme sufferers, even though their doctors haven't been indicating that to them?
Well, there are networks, like you mentioned, the website.
LymeDisease.org,
LymeDisease.org is there's – I've had conversations with people that have – that are members over there, and there are doctors now that are treating people. They're Lyme literate, and they're really trying to help people. The tide's changing, it's turning, information is coming, and all I can say is, I know what's worked for me in the past. Antibiotics really ceased to work. So there's some things that I use now. I hesitate because I know an Amish farmer who's in prison for selling raw milk. You know what I mean? So this is what we need to do is we need to stand up and face this behemoth and say no more. We need to advocate for these people that the FDA throws under the bus. We need to get behind county sheriffs who are willing to act as interposer. Let me give you a really good example of interposition. Sheriff Bradley Rogers, amazing guy. We just published not too long ago, republished a story that he was involved with, where an Amish farmer had the FDA coming down and wanting to inspect and wanting to intrude. They're really impeding and harassing this guy. And he picks up the phone and he calls the sheriff. And the sheriff comes down. They sit at his kitchen table over a cup of coffee the way sheriffs used to come and talk to you. And he says, well, what's your problem? And he said, well, these guys keep coming around. They don't come around with the warrant. They're making threats. They're, doing all kinds of stuff. So he went back to his office and he picked up the phone or he shot off a letter to them. I'm sorry. And the letter basically said, look, if you're going to send anybody here, A, they will have a warrant signed by a judge supported by probable cause. And there's one other condition that you must come to my office before serving it. Wow. Well, then he heard back from the Justice Department, who was not quite too happy with the sheriff's demeanor. And the sheriff doubled down and he said, well, if you come out here in any other way, you guys are going to end up in my jail.
Wow.
And that was it. They dropped the whole matter and they went away. People do not understand the fundamental power. This is why I think most important election in everybody's little area, and I'm not a big lover of government, right? I have issues with government in and of itself. I'm absolute limited, if any at all, but kind of that kind of right winger. But the most important elected position,
it's your sheriff, right?
In the entire world, and this is reported in more liberal press, especially by Rachel Madcow. Mm. He says, "Well, these guys think that the sheriff is the highest elected official in the country or in the land." Or no, he's the highest elected law enforcement official in your county, regardless of somebody who comes from outside of your county into your county. And by oversimplifying that, trying to state it like, well, the sheriff is like a king. No, sheriff's not a king. The people are the king. The sovereignty is with them. And they place this man in a position where he raises his hand and he takes an oath to swear, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, I have news for you guys. Washington, D.C. is a foreign state unto your state. So part of his oath is that he will act as interposer. It's a check and balance. It's the proper role of government, if there was one, was to act as a check and balance against each other. This was the whole concept of a free republic. And now these bureaucrats and SES types, these bureaucrats, career bureaucrats, with no accountability, think that they can, but they can't. This is Sheriff Mack proved that a couple times. There was a case against the Clintons with gun control. He also stood up the sheriff and he said, yeah, we're not going to be having any of that federal gun control in my county. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. Right. And he sat there and he read, shall not be infringed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That doesn't give you guys anything, by the way. He looks back at his phone and he says, yeah, that's a restriction on government. And it's my job to make sure that I enforce that restriction. And that is the proper mentality of a sheriff. People need to find people like that and get them to stand up for them. Because if they did, there is a peaceful solution right there. That's the first step. The second step is when you have homeopathic medicine. I don't know. They call it alternative medicine, I think, is retarded. That was the original medicine.
Right, right.
Then
exactly,
came Rockefeller medicine. Right?
Yeah, right, right. Yeah.
And all of these universities are big pharma and Rockefeller Foundation funded. They propagandize these people and they teach them that this is the way to do it. And they've gotten so far away from natural cures and natural remedies that it's almost impossible for people to experiment with things that, by the way, couldn't kill you if you ate a bushel of, right. You know, cannabis is the perfect prime example of this. Cannabis cannot really kill you unless you actually choke on it and you lose your air. That's it. I mean, you can eat the stuff by the pound. It doesn't matter. It won't kill you. So why, what prevents me from somebody that has pain from planting a couple plants in my backyard? Or I hate to say this, you know, this is something that, by the way, my uncle got popped for doing a long time ago. He took the rap for a doctor. This doctor that he rented an apartment in Haddonfield, New Jersey. This is a cool story. Anyway, this old doctor. This guy was ancient. I mean, the wind could come along and he might blow him to dust. But he was very old. He grew poppy, right? Because he had arthritis and he had pain, but he didn't want to take synthetic opioids.
Yeah, right.
He wanted to take it in his tea, or he would put a little bit in his honey and he would use the honey in a certain way. He wanted to use it in a very on an all natural form. And use it naturally in more natural products that also made him healthy. Mm-hmm. And this guy, come to think of it, was really old and he got around. He drove and he walked and he looked every bit his age, but he had energy and, you know, he had a lot of pain, but he would grow his own. Well, the police came and a little bit of the poppy and he had some pot plants growing too. And my uncle took the rap for everything that was his. And so long story short, here's a doctor who he was so old that he could remember alternative medicine as maybe not being so alternative, right?
Right, right.
Those are the kind of guys they wished would die. The FDA and Big Pharma, they wish those guys would die. Because half of the things that the FDA approves and half of the things that Big Pharma puts out is poison. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about an opioid epidemic. Yeah. How many people die of prescription painkillers?
Yes, right.
Non-opioids, other ones.
That's right.
How many of these shooters are on MAOI inhibitors and psychotropic medication?
Yeah.
And we're talking about the gun being the problem?
Right.
No, people have become Tide Pod and Big Pharma eating nutcases. And, and this is, it's changing culture. It's changing mentalities. Mm-hmm. It's changing people's physical, their biology. Their chemistry.
That's right.
Anyway, I could go on for hours on that.
Yeah, it's troubling. And I know where I was raised, there's the University of Minnesota. They actually had a homeopathy school. And I wonder who closed it down. You know, I don't know. But there's this, for me, the suspicion would be, well, the drug companies started to take over. It was like in St. Paul. GM, I think it was GM Motors. Anyway, came in. They took out all the wonderful little train cars, the electric things,
and put streetcar tracks.
You'd only find out about
in the bus system.
Yeah, they put in the bus system because why? Because the car companies would benefit. So there is a lot of that corruption, I guess you would call
conflict
it, and conflict of interest. So
you remember our first conversation that we had based on the 14th Amendment. Well, look at Citizens United, right? We have mixed emotions on this, right? But that's only because we're looking at it through a modern lens. Now, right prior to the 14th Amendment being forced into law, there was called the Person Act, and they redefined person to also mean corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you read the 14th Amendment, understanding that corporations now have the rights of an individual because they are considered an individual. When you read the 14th Amendment now, and when that word person pops up, it gives a completely different perspective to what the majority of the uneducated public sees it. They think it was to give black people rights. Okay, well, why was the first whole bunch of times it was used by corporations to gain more power? Because corporations now have the rights of an individual. So this is part of the thing that the American public has been dumbed down out of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have these huge corporations now that are just out of control. Well, I don't know. Anyway, that's basically my gist on that.
We've been talking with Tom Lacovara, yes, Stewart, the founder of RTR Truth Media.
A wealth of knowledge.
The controversial origins of modern Lyme disease. And we both promised to circle back when we see results one way or the other about the new formulations of copper that are being provided, mm-hmm, as well as peptide therapy. And
there you go.
I hope it works. Yes. Pray for me. I don't know if you have a strong Christian audience out there. Yeah. I'm a Christian myself.
Yes, yeah, we are quite too. A few. Yeah. So
And tell us where they can, view more of you.
Oh, well, you can go to my YouTube channels, RTR Truth Media. You can go to my BitChute. I have a BitChute, also RTR Truth Media, RTRTruthMedia.com, Resurrect the Republic radio show on the Republic Broadcasting Network. That's RepublicBroadcasting.org. Usually Monday through Friday. I'm on pretty late at night. We're probably going to do a time switch soon. But, that's where you guys can find me. And I appreciate what you guys are doing. And we'd like to have you guys come on the radio show too soon, I hope.
Okay.
That'd be
fun, yeah.
In general.
You're a wealth of information, so thank you so much for coming on our show and sharing all of the information you have. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. Merry Christmas.
Bye. Merry Christmas.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer, for me to you personally, a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
tyranny again. And voluntarily, my friend, 14th Amendment sits
a 10. Truth has become treason. Empire lives. We're lighting brush fires of freedom. RTR Truth Media, RTRTruthMedia.com. If you get something from this video and you really like it, smash that PayPal button, maybe consider a one-time donation. Or you can go over to the High Impact Flicks t-shirt store, and if you go through by clicking this right here, Brian and I get the profit share. It doesn't cost you a dollar more than you would at the site. And you get to pick from all sorts of awesome designs. Just I really love this t-shirt store myself. So if you want to help out the effort, it'd be appreciated. That's the way you can do it. You can help us out like that. So let's get to the video.
I want you guys to understand something very clearly. The following information should let you know there's an absolute nullification on any laws written by politicians or political prostitutes, scribblings and ramblings of oligarchs to disarm you. Because when it comes down to it, they've been using the police as a tool to push their security over liberty concept, which is all a lie. It's based on a lie. We've known that. Heller v. D.C., U.S. Supreme Court ruled police officers in the Heller case when a woman was brutally raped and called for help and it never came. The officers had no duty to protect her, only to enforce the laws of the corporation.
Stop it!
I'm gonna be a cop!
No duty to protect the students. Again, in the Parkland situation, two decisions in rapid succession highlight an assumption often made, the belief, get it? The belief of government mind control, the belief, the false belief via mind control that the public has a right to receive protection from police officers. Police officers, in fact, generally are not under any legal obligation to protect citizens who are not in their custody. That is the ruling of the courts. Police can watch somebody attack you, refuse to intervene, and not violate the Constitution. Then it's upon them to take that up for a violation of the law, not preventative, not protective, not in any other way to protect you. The Supreme Court has repeatedly held that the government has only a duty to protect persons who are in custody. There are exceptions, however, as when a crossing guard who is specifically assigned to protect children traveling across the street allows a child to get run over while, say, the guard is being distracted by a smartphone, the crossing guard is in a special relationship with the children in legal eyes. Now listen to this nonsense. So you can hire a school crossing guard, and this can happen, and they can be culpable. But you make the public believe that their so-called tax or theft money is being paid to an organization to protect you. But there's no special relationship there in legal eyes. Nope, not a special relationship there. No. But at least 8 sheriff's deputies who raced to the school and heard gunshots stayed outside the building. But they were all found to be not culpable because there is no duty to protect. Let's see what some lawmen had to say about that when they were taken to task by somebody from Team RTR Truth Media.
And about the constitutionality, where you want to stay, and what you want to do to kind of bring the people together. I'd like to hear that from you. From these two gentlemen. Sir, with all due respect,
Man is talking about is really feelings over facts. The fact of the matter is that law enforcement exists to enforce the law and to protect the corporation, usually. They don't exist, they don't have, and when he says that, you know, because he has this feeling that he wants to protect people, I believe him, and I believe him to be a good man, you know, to have a good place that's coming from. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about here is that facts really, it doesn't matter about how you feel when it comes down to it, like with the Parkland situation, and the court ruled again that there's no culpability because they have no duty to protect. So how you feel is irrelevant as to the fact of the matter. So you're going to hear a lot of this mind control programming from authoritarian sources, but it's just facts don't care about your feelings.
Military and in law enforcement. But like I just said before, the people are the police, and the police are the people. We should be together on this, not at odds. And I don't have a problem with you putting this on the spot and saying, hey, you know, we have a place. I'm not out there to rule your world or take your weapons or anything like that. But our job is together. And I would dispel the myth that I don't know what the Constitution says, because I have put my life on the line for everyone in this room now. Others in here too have. I can see from the military caps, and we have Oath Keepers in here. We're on the same team.
Don't!
And
I
sure, yeah, and I mean, that's fine. And I'll look, yeah.
No, and I think, you know, I have never looked at it from the way that you just presented it. I haven't. I'd be lying to you if I told you I did.
What the hell did you
but
say?
What you said, and specifically Carl's answer, I think it's a fabulous idea for us to be able to but what that's going to take is exactly as Carl said. That's going to take something countywide. I think it's a great idea to be, because we're not learning that. They sure didn't learn it 35 years ago. They're not learning it now when they go through their basic law enforcement academy. So I think it's going to be a change in mentality to be able to encompass that into their training. So I think it's a great idea.
Amen. Thank you.
Last weekend, I had my good friend in town, Sheriff Richard Mack. Many of you are familiar with him. Sheriff Mack, famous for challenging the federal government attempting to force, when he was Graham County, Arizona Sheriff, going back to the Brady Bill. They stood against a case called Prince versus U.S., took him to the Supreme Court, and the sheriffs won. Why that is important, it created the power of the county sheriff. And so what I've asked Sheriff Mack to do, to help me do when elected sheriff of this county, is to create a con-